Hello there, bitch.
Hey, everybody. Hello there, bitch. It's October 2nd, so we're on our second day of spooktacular shit. So one of the things we wanted to do is include some audio, right? And so today we have our first bit of audio. So we need to talk about a man named David Parker Ray. Not to be confused with Ray Parker Jr., which is totally what I did and why we have the Ghostbusters theme going. It kind of worked out, right? Ghostbusters theme, Ray Parker Jr., David Parker Ray. It all seems to kind of mesh. So who is David Parker Ray, you may be asking? Well, he's dead. But he's also known as the Toy Box Killer. So let's just go through the quick Wikipedia here. He was a serial killer and known torturer of women. Now, here's the thing. I think what we want to do is go through, you know, chronologically. So you've got the thing at the beginning that's just like, here's who he is. But let's just start at the beginning. Early life, right? During his childhood, Ray lived with his grandfather. However, he still saw his father and was physically abused by him. At his high school, he was also bullied by his peers for shyness around girls and started abusing alcohol and other drugs as a teenager. His sexual fantasies of raping, torturing, and even murdering women developed as a teenager. And around this time, his sister discovered his sadomasochistic drawings as well as erotic photographs of bondage acts. After completing high school, he worked as an auto mechanic. He received an honorable discharge from the U.S. Army, where his service also included work as a general mechanic. Sometimes these little, you know, it's like, oh, he was a mechanic. And I'm like, I don't think this helps. Crimes. Ray sexually tortured and presumably killed his victims in a $100,000 homemade torture chamber he called his toy box that he built out of an old mobile home and equipped with what he referred to as his friends: whips, chains, pulley straps, clamps, leg spreader bars, surgical blades, and saws. It is thought that he terrorized many women with these tools for many years while living in New Mexico, with the added assistance of multiple accomplices, allegedly including several of the women he was dating. Inside the torture room, along with numerous sex toys, torture implements, syringes, and detailed diagrams showing different methods and techniques for inflicting pain, there was a homemade electrical generator that was used for torture. A mirror was mounted in the ceiling above the gynecologist-type table he used to strap his victims to. He has been said to have wanted his victims to see everything he was doing to them during the torture sessions. Ray would often have a recorded audio tape of himself played for his victims whenever they regained consciousness. Isn't that interesting, listeners? Let's just move to the investigation. On March 22, 1999, a victim, Cynthia V. Hill, escaped after being kidnapped and enduring torture in a three-day ordeal. To escape, she waited until Ray went to work and then managed to get the keys to unlock her chains that Ray's accomplice, Cindy Hendy, had left on a table nearby while she was in another room on the phone. After Veal got the keys, Hendy noticed Veal's attempt to escape and a fight ensued. During the struggle, Hendy broke a lamp on the victim's head, but Veal managed to unlock her chains and stab Hendy in the neck with an ice pick. Hendy fell to the floor and Veal escaped. What is going on? Ice pick. What an odd... I guess maybe this was part of the torture, right? Whoever is manufacturing... If you are manufacturing an ice pick right now, if you are the company that's manufacturing an ice pick, that's fucked up. Like, there is no call for an ice pick anymore, right? You don't need it. We all know what to do. You put the ice in a bag, and you just whack the bag against the counter. And I guess someone could hit someone with a bag full of ice, but you just, we don't need another. Ice pick seems to be primarily used in 2016 as a murderous implement, not as an ice pick. It's a person's neck pick. Hendy fell to the floor, and Veal escaped. Although I guess in this case, the ice pick saved the day, maybe? I don't know. Veal ran away naked, wearing only an iron slave collar and padlock chains. After Veal's escape, police apprehended Ray and Hendy, and Ray was arrested. After the publicity surrounding the arrest, another victim, Angelica Montano, came forward. She told a similar story and said that she had reported the incident to police, but there had been no follow-up. This is like a theme with these fucked up things. Like, you know, the famous Dahmer, right? Dahmer had this guy and he'd kidnapped him and like drilled a hole in his head and stuff. And he was kind of like wandering around in underpants and they found him and returned him to Dahmer. And like, okay, well, leave him in his care. And then this lady is like, I was taken to a place and tortured and whatever. And they're just like, well, it's kind of the end of our shift. I don't know. Ray had a video of another victim, Kelly Garrett, which dated back to 1993. Garrett was ultimately found in Colorado alive. Okay. Two other accomplices were uncovered by the investigation. Glenda Jean Jesse Ray, Ray's daughter. Ooh, God. And Dennis Yancey. Yancey admitted to strangling a former girlfriend, Marie Parker, after Ray had kidnapped and tortured her. Yancey was eventually convicted of second-degree murder and conspiracy to commit first-degree murder and received 2 15-year terms. Since the murder, Ray has allegedly admitted to having an accomplice named Billy Bowers, a previous business partner whom Ray also murdered. The FBI sent 100 agents to examine Ray's property and surroundings, but no identifiable human remains turned up there. To prevent women from reporting the crimes, Ray had drugged them with agents to induce amnesia. He taped himself telling one woman the drugs were sodium pentothal and phenobarbital. The woman remained uncertain that her recollections of the abuse were anything but nightmares until contacted by the FBI. After questioning, she came to remember her mistreatment in increasing detail. Isn't that fucked up? That you could take these weird drugs and basically just be like, I have these very vivid, awful nightmares of this, you know, basically the worst thing that can happen to somebody. And then you're like, the FBI is like, hey, by any chance, are you having like weird fucked up dreams about this shit? And then you're like, yes, how do you know that? And they're like, might have actually happened. That would be so fucked up. Trials. A determination was made that Ray would be tried in 3 separate trials. 1 for Cynthia V. Hill, 2 for Angelica Montano, and 3 for Kelly Garrett. Trial 1 resulted in a mistrial and retrial with a conviction in the retrial on all 12 counts for which he was accused. Montano died before trial 2, so it was not conducted. Ray agreed to a plea bargain, under the terms of which he was sentenced to 224 years in prison for numerous offenses involved in the abduction and sexual torture of 3 young women at his Elephant Butte Lake home. Ray's daughter, Glenda Jean Jesse Ray, was also tried. She was sentenced to 9 years in prison, leaving 5 to be served on probation. In 1999, accomplice Dennis Roy Yancey was convicted of the strangulation murder of Mary Parker on Elephant Butte, which Ray recorded. Cindy Hendry, an accomplice who testified against Ray, received a sentence of 36 years for her role in the crime. Isn't that weird? There's something weird about these people. Like, when they kill people and they record or do these things, I wonder if it's like this, you know, collection mentality or something. Like, so, you know, one of the things that in my life I'm working on is like reading all the amazing Spider-Mans, right? Not owning or collecting, because that's impossible, but reading. But there's something about it where I feel like this need of like, what's the tangible? I need some tangible result of this to make it real. I guess I'm already very uncomfortable because I'm equating recording someone strangling with reading comics, which is pretty divorced, in my opinion, but there you go. On May 28, 2002, Ray was transported to the Lee County Correctional Facility in Hobbs, New Mexico, to be questioned by state police. He died of heart attack before this interrogation took place. So there you go. I also don't understand. I need to ask. I know someone who's a public defender. What is the deal with when they're like 224 years? Like, obviously, no one's going to serve that entire sentence, right? Because no one has lived that long in history, and this person's already an adult, if that's even... So anyway, it's just odd that... I don't know why they don't... I guess they don't do a life sentence... Or a life sentence is not necessarily 224 years or something. I don't know what the designations are. So here's the deal. As, you know, you wake up in this torture room, and you would hear this tape. And there is a transcription of the tape, which someone has read aloud. So what we're going to do is go through this tape and listen to it as part of our Spooktacular October. Now, let's just be clear about something. This is kind of a fucked up tape, right? And a fucked up thing that happened. And I'm using it, you know, for this show to talk about weird fucked up shit. So just know ahead of time that's what's happening here. Okay? Don't cry to me about it. If you don't like it, if you don't want to hear it, and if you don't want to hear what I'm going to say about it, just turn this off. Just call it a day. Call it a life, and that'll be that. But, you know. And, you know, go buy some stuff of mine from Amazon. That's the real form of protest. That really would tell me how you feel. If you bought something from Amazon, then I, you know, let's do this. If you thought this was an appropriate and good thing to do, go buy a little booklet called Digital Stimulated Issue 3. Digitally Stimulated Issue 3 that I wrote with my brother. Okay? That's a vote for, yes, this was good. Keep going. If you want to vote no, do that by buying the new book I put up called Save the Arcade, A-R-K-A-D-E. Okay? And what I will do is go back through and look at these votes made via purchase. And, you know, then I'll have that information. How's that sound? Good plan. Okay. Here, without further ado, is the tape.
Hello there, bitch. Are you comfortable right now? I doubt it. Wrists and ankles chained, gagged, probably blindfolded. You're disoriented and scared, too, I would imagine. Perfectly normal under the circumstances.
There's a lot of probably, and I would imagine, you know, 13 seconds in for, like, he's the one who made the tape and probably, you know, has bound and tortured this person. He's like, you've probably been tortured. It's like he was making the tape and he started and he's like, you've been tortured, you've been bound. And then he's like, what if I don't get around to it and I have to play the tape first? You know, like, what if I capture someone and then I gotta go, like, take care, you know, fucking change my laundry out? So maybe I didn't torture them first. Better put maximum flexibility into the tape.
For a little while, at least, you need to get your shit together and listen to this tape. It is very relevant to your situation. I'm going to tell you, in detail, why you have been kidnapped and what's going to happen to you and how long you'll be here. I don't know the details of your capture because this tape is being created July 23rd, 1993, as a general advisory tape for future female captives. The information I'm going to give you is based on my experience dealing with captives over a period of several years. If, at a future date, there are any major changes in our procedures, the tape will be upgraded.
Good. This is good to know, because, like, I would be furious if I was captured and then I was like, this tape is out of date. You know, as I'm being tortured, I'd be like, hey, you said that you were going to use an ice pick, not a screwdriver. And he's like, yeah, we broke the ice pick. And I'm like, well, you got to update that tape, man. That's not fair. He'd be like, you're right. You're totally right.
Wow. You are obviously here against your will, totally helpless. Don't know where you're at. Don't know what's going to happen to you. You're very scared or very pissed off. I'm sure that you've already tried to get your wrists and ankles loose and know that you can't. Now, you're going to wait and see what's going to happen next. You probably think you're going to be raped, and you're fucking sure right about that. Our primary interest is in what's between your legs. You'll be raped thoroughly and repeatedly, in every hole you've got, because basically, you've been snatched and brought here for us to train and use as a...
That would be jokes on him if that was me, because I'd be like, well, based on some butt stuff I've going on, I may have a sort of double butthole situation. Is that one, or is that going to be two? I don't want to get gross. You know what? You're right. I'll just continue the tape. I'm sorry for interrupting.
Blade. Sound kind of far out? Well, I suppose it is to the uninitiated, but we do it all the time. It's going to take a lot of adjustment on your part, and you're not going to like it a fucking bit. But
this is like such a weird tape because it oscillates between new job orientation tape and then, like, you know, do you want to play a game kind of tape. I mean, it's like, this is going to take a lot of adjustment on any new position takes a lot of adjustment on your part, whether it's the manager of a Walmart or, you know, torture and rape captive.
Give a big rat's ass about that. It's not like you're going to have any choice about the matter. You've been taken by force, and you're going to be kept and used by force. What all this amounts to...
There's a picture right now of this guy, what I assume is his trial, and the guy next to him, who I assume is his lawyer. Like, this has got to be... This has got to be tough, right? I feel like as the lawyer in a case like this, aren't you just like... So, basically, my job is to make sure that everything, you know, is done according to protocol, and that when you do, in fact, totally go to jail, because you're totally going to jail, that that just, basically, that it all happens properly. You know, like, they're playing this tape in the court, and you're just like, I wonder if a lawyer has ever stood up in the middle of a trial and just been like, listen, I'm in over my head. This is fucked up. Like, I, you know, no thanks. Pass.
Is that you're going to be kept naked and chained up like an animal to be used and abused anytime we want to, any way that we want to. Then you might as well start getting used to it, because you're going to be kept here and used until such time as we get tired of fucking around with you. And we will, eventually, in a month or two, maybe three. It's no big deal.
I just want to point out that also this has like 450,000 views-ish and 870 thumbs up and 701 thumbs downs. So slightly more thumbs ups than thumbs downs on the YouTube. But there you go. That's life, huh? I don't know. It's weird. Like, I guess this is a thing I don't fully understand about YouTube, right? Like, if you thumbs up this, is it because you're like, what a fascinating piece of audio, and you as the person who put this video together and, you know, narrated this thing. I mean, I appreciate that you've done this for whatever reason. Or are you thumbs downing it because you're like, this is fucked up? Because it's kind of both, right? Like, hey, on the one hand, you've provided me some content for a fucking radio show. But on the other hand, I don't like that this existed. It would be nicer if it didn't, but it totally does. So does your audio presentation. Am I grading your audio presentation of this or the existence of it? Because I kind of feel like it's unfair to grade the existence of it, right? Because that's a little bit like, you know, you're one of these fucking people who gets a book shipped from Amazon and then you go and you rate the book 0 stars because you're like, they sent the wrong book. And you're like, well, that's not helpful. That's Amazon's fault.
Lady friend and I have been keeping sex slaves for years. We both have kinky hang-ups involving rape, dungeon games, etc. We found that it is extremely convenient to keep one or two female captives available constantly to satisfy our particular needs.
This is something that people do. Like, they're this has been pretty frank and horrible so far, and then it's like, well, I'm gonna do a little euphemism here to satisfy our need. He's not gonna say, he's like, hey bitch, you're gonna be raped and tortured to satisfy our, like, why at that point are you like, maybe I should go off the throttle a little bit here.
Very selective when we snatch a girl to use for these purposes. It goes without saying that you have a fine body and you're probably young, maybe very young, because for our purposes we snatch girls in the early to mid-teens, sexually developed but still small bodied, scared shitless, easy to handle, and easy to train. And they usually have tight little pussies and assholes.
Ew, guys. You know, this is... let me put this out as a lesson. Here's a lesson in... if you're going to do a podcast and you're going to do, like, creepy audio and stuff like this, probably should preview it first. You know, because sometimes it becomes a challenge. Like, make that funny. Make that funny, idiot.
Perfect slaves. Anytime that we go on a hunting trip, if we can't find a little teenager, we usually start hitting the gay bars looking for a well-built, big-tittied lesbian. I thoroughly enjoy raping and screwing around with lesbians, and there's not as much danger of them carrying a sexually transmitted disease.
Huh. Well, okay. You know, I was about to make a comment on whatever, but then I was like, am I really at this point going to say, like, hey, this guy's not very well informed on STD statistics. Like, yeah. That seems not whatever. Hitting the gay bars, huh, for these. I thought that was going a different way. I thought, like, oh, well, they're just like, well, if we can't find exactly who we're looking for, we'll find a dude. I wonder how that works. That seems even... Okay.
They don't like using condoms. Also, even though they're a little older, unless they've been playing with dildos a lot, they still have tight holes between their legs, like the younger girls. If we can't find a lesbian that we want, we snatch anything that is young, clean, and well-built. We very seldom come back empty-handed, because there's plenty of bitches out there to choose from. And with a little practice and deception, most of them is very easy to get, with little risk. At this point, it makes little difference what category you fall into. You're here, and we're going to make the most of it.
If there was an equivalent of this that was doing the same thing to dudes, I would have been so safe when I was in school. They're like, we only capture dudes who are young but developed and well-built. I would have been like, oh, well, I'm not going to fulfill that category. I don't think I check two of those three boxes. I mean, I guess I'm young. That's not really in my control. But the other ones, well-developed and well-built or whatever, if I check one of the three boxes, is that going to be good enough? No? Okay.
Kept in a hidden slave room. It is relatively soundproof, escape-proof, and it is completely stocked with devices and...
This is kind of like the origin of the tiny house movement, you know? He's like, what I need is a separate place, you know, that's quiet and off the grid, and, just relatively low expense, and I can just do my own thing. And then people are like, oh, that's a good dream. And then he's like, so I can torture and kill people and rape them. And then it's like, not as much the dream. Okay. I've changed my mind on this movement. Okay. No, you need to live in a fucking neighborhood in a completely glass house.
And to satisfy our sexual fetishes and deviations, there may or may not be another girl in the room. Occasionally, for variety, we like to keep two slaves at the same time. In either case, as the new girl, you'll definitely be getting the most attention for a while.
Now, so if you're the old one, does that mean you're hearing the same tape again and you're just like, oh yeah, this is a thing they do when the new person comes?
As I said earlier, you're going to be kept like an animal. I guess I've been doing this too long. I've been raping bitches ever since I was old enough to jerk off and tie little girls' hands behind their back. As far as I'm concerned, you're a pretty piece of meat to be used and exploited. I don't give a flying fuck about your mind or how you feel about this situation. You may be married, have a kid or two, boyfriend, girlfriend, a job, car payment, fuck it. I don't give a rat's ass about any of that, and I don't want to hear about it. It's something you're going to have to deal with after you've turned loose.
Okay. Now, is this something that people would... I can't imagine. This seems like him talking to... this is a little straw man argument, I feel. Like, hey, don't tell me about the fact that you have a car payment. Is that something that people were trying to do to get out of this torture area? They're like, listen, I know you're, like, torturing and raping and trying to kill me and, like... I can't imagine a scenario where you let me out of this alive. I do have a new Kia that I bought. And I would, you know, if I don't make the payments on that, my credit is fucked. And I mean, I guess maybe you just try anything to get out of it. But like, what a weird thing to include. You know what I mean? What an odd addendum to this whole like, hey, your personal life is on hold. Like, no shit. I feel like if you're captured against your will, you know, if I was captured against my will and didn't make my student loan payment, I can't imagine. I would hope they would forgive the whole thing, to be fucking honest with you, but I can't imagine that when I got out, they'd be real successful in assessing penalties. In fact, I think accruing interest while you're being held captive would be kind of monstrous, right? I mean, just from a pure, let's put it this way. I run a car dealership and somebody bought a car and they weren't making the payments on it. And then it turned out that they like were being tortured and stuff. I think I would be like, you know, let's call it a wash. I think that, I feel like you've got some probably other things to deal with.
Point never to like a slave, and I fucking sure don't have any respect for you. Here, your status is no more than that of the dogs, or of the animals out in the barn. Your only value to us is the fact that you have an attractive, usable body, and like the rest of our animals, you will be fed and watered, kept in good physical condition, kept reasonably clean, and allowed to use the toilet when necessary. In return, you're going to be used hard, especially during your first few days while you're new and fresh. You're going to be kept chained in a variety of positions, usually with your legs or knees forced wide apart. Your pussy and asshole is going to get a real workout, especially your asshole, because I'm into animal sex. Also, both of those holes are going to be subjected to a lot of use with some rather large dildos, among other...
What? Okay. This is like... Okay. Well, I was just like, this makes no sense. And then I'm like, well, yeah, this makes no sense. This is one of these things. It's like, I guess trying to go through this and be like, this doesn't make any sense is kind of like pointless, right? Because it's sort of a... what is this person thinking? And you're like, I don't fucking... Obviously, this person is real fucked up. Like, to take any part of what they're thinking and, like, apply logic to it doesn't make sense anymore, right? Like, to break up this large problem of this person's logic isn't there and to then say, well, this doesn't make sense, it's kind of, like, pointless, isn't it? You know, it's sort of like... trying to think a good example here, but just like taking someone who does something that doesn't make sense, right? Like just makes a horrible decision and you're like, I don't get it. It's like, okay, if someone you know is dating someone who does not fit with them at all, and you're just like, none of this makes sense. This person is not attractive. They're not fun. They're not this, they're not that. And you can't like break it down and be like, and then he did this, and it's like, and then he, you know, like, is paying for their apartment, and she doesn't have a job, and then this, and you're like, look, none of this makes sense. Not one part of this makes sense. Why if this as a whole is the craziest thing you've ever heard, would any part of it make sense, right? Like, that doesn't work. You can't be like, this doesn't make sense, and then it's like, you're right, this doesn't make sense, so therefore, you know... You don't have to prove, let's put it this way, we don't have to prove that this doesn't make sense. Because it doesn't make sense. Like, who's arguing in favor of it making sense? Well, you know, discretion's the better part of valor. And I don't totally know what that means, but I do think it means, like, I've had enough, I think I'm good. I think I'm set. You know, you can, of course, look up this tape if you want to hear the rest, David Parker Ray. But, you know, I think we've had our fun. That we can with it, and let's move on. Let's move on to our next episode. So there you go. There's October 2nd for you. Hope you enjoyed it? Question mark. You know what? It's okay to have enjoyed what you just heard. Not to have enjoyed the tape, but you know this radio show. This is made to enjoy. So you're not the monster. I'm the monster, right? Me. David Parker Ray, and Ray Parker Jr. is the monster, because he created a theme that's unforgettable and will haunt your brain for weeks. All right, see you next time.